Good morning.
So this is going to be quite a contrast to the 20,000 people in your county. I have no conflicts. Okay, so California is a large state, almost 38 million people. We have 61 local health departments. Our department has 3,800 state employees, about 400 contract employees on top of that with a $3.5 billion budget. We have 60 field offices across the state and at least 200 different programs in the department, which I learn about a new one practically every day. I've been on the job all 16 months. This is how our staff at CDPH envision the public health accreditation process. So if there's one slide to memorize, this is it, and the quiz will be at the end of the session. I think what is most profound for me in this slide is the middle section, which says, concepts of performance management and quality improvement are incorporated throughout the standards and measures of the public health accreditation process. Relates specifically to domain 9, but it's clearly cross-cutting. What I want to talk about are what I consider to be building blocks for accreditation in a very, very large state health department. And so I will talk about these bullets, the state health assessment and health improvement plan, our strategic map, a QI staff survey, the FAB think tank, the role of education and collaboration, our new Office of Quality Performance and Accreditation, the role of experts, and finally, the role of what I call our pioneer quality improvement teams. So first, the State Health Assessment Improvement Plan. We're very fortunate in California this year. Governor Brown signed an executive order creating the Let's Get Healthy California Task Force. I encourage folks to Google Let's Get Healthy California Task Force to find out about our work in California. This is just one slide that gives you a small glimpse into the effort, which brings together a number of public health and healthcare stakeholders from across the state on an expert panel and task force. We've completed the first phase of the task force work, which is to identify indicators, measures, and create targets, goals for the next 10 years. The second phase of the project is to identify case studies, models, and best practices to get us to those 10-year targets, and our report is due to the governor mid-December. So we are on a very fast track. This slide just shows you some of the indicators. The entire process has been developed around the triple aim. And in fact, we have two co-chairs of the task force, Secretary Diana Dooley, who's the Secretary of the California Health and Human Services Agency, and Dr. Don Berwick is also the co-chair of the task force. And if you're not familiar with Don Berwick, he's the one that created with his team in Boston at the Institute for Health Improvement, the Triple Aim. Okay, next on the building blocks is the strategic plan, and for us in California, we develop a strategic map, a one-page strategic map. Yes, you need to memorize this one as well, John. There's a quiz just for you on the map. Really interesting process to think about the largest or one of the largest state health departments in the United States having one page that gives direction and vision for where we're heading over the next 3 years. I've done a lot of strategic planning in my career. I've never done strategic mapping until this year. And what you see at the top are the vision and mission of our department in a large oval, which is the central challenge for our department over the next 3 years, which reads, leverage key opportunities to define and shape the future of public health in a changing environment. Then we have strategic priorities A through H. We have 19 strategic objectives in the middle, and these are numbered, not necessarily in priority, but the ones that I want to point out for this presentation are B1, which says achieve national public health accreditation, and the cross-cutting strategic priority G on the bottom, which states make continuous quality improvement a way of life in the department. What's unique about the strategic map is that as one page, it's easily understandable and transportable across the entire very large department. I get excited and encouraged when I walk around the department and I see the one page hanging up in people's offices. I've been through strategic planning process, as I imagine most all of you have, that develop large binders that sit on shelves and gather dust and nobody does anything with them. I've seen this one page map blown up as big as the screen up front and hanging in different rooms around the department. So we did a survey about a year ago to look at our internal capacity around quality improvement, and we found a smattering of QI projects and understanding. I've been involved with QI and performance management most of my career, and it's always interesting to walk around and ask people, are you doing QI, are you doing quality improvement? Most people say yes. And then my follow-up question is, well, do you know what PDSA stands for? And 90% of the time the answer is never heard of it. So folks believe they're doing quality improvement work, and they are, but they're generally not using tried, true, and tested models that other industries have used. So when I started in the department, I've learned from prior experiences in leadership positions that this is not something that you can force on people. So as I began to introduce myself at staff meetings, I would talk about my vision for the department, now and then just mention QI, not really get into it. But one particular introductory meeting with our Office of Legal Services, which is comprised of 26 attorneys, I mentioned the word QI, and as soon as I did that, an attorney in the back of the room shot their hand up. And I stopped and said, you have questions? She said, I need to make a comment. And she stood up and she said, we did QI in the 1990s and it was a flop. It was a horrible failure. She said, TQM, Total Quality Management, is terrible. And I thanked her and I understood and I moved on. About 6 months later, an executive management team meeting, we gave our first real presentation on QI. And it was based on the changes we made in contracting over the prior 6 months using QI principles. So it's our way of introducing QI to the executive staff with a real live case from our own department. And we have over 3,000 contracts in our department. We have to send all of them to a control agency, and in the past, 70% of them were rejected and sent back to our department. By the time we finished the 6 month process, and as of today, our rejection rate with that control agency is 0.05%. Of the last 900 contracts, only 4 have been rejected. And we've gained great credibility. Thank you. We now have what's called delegated authority, where several hundred of our contracts don't even need to go to that control agency anymore. So guess what? When we gave that presentation, who was in the back of the room but the same attorney? And her hand shot up again. I had no idea what was going to happen. And she stood up and she pointed her finger at me and she said, Dr. Chapman, now I understand. QI is just about problem solving. the light bulb went on. She's one of our champions. It was great to see. But you have to be very patient and careful about introducing QI to an organization. In March of this year, FAB organized a think tank. This is a framework that brings together leaders to discuss the issues relevant to accreditation. It was a great venue to collaborate with our partners across the state in public health, from the California Conference of Local Health Officers, CCLHO, and CHEAC, the County Health Executive Association of California. The education and collaboration has continued throughout the year. In May, we were in LA for a QI and accreditation seminar with a number of partners there. In August, we had another seminar repeating the same performance for folks in Northern California and Sacramento, and again, great collaboration with our partners at the local level. And in July, we established the Office of Quality, Performance, and Accreditation. And I have to, at this point, put out a thank you to the CDC for their kind funding through the National Public Health Improvement Initiative, NIFI, which has been instrumental in our efforts in QI and accreditation in our department. We actually brought together a number of staff to create this new office. We did not create any new positions. Staff were already working in strategic planning and leadership development, and by creating this new office, we created a deputy director position who reports to me. So this new Office of Quality, Performance, and Accreditation is in the director's office. Lorianne DeMartini is here. Hello, she's here to see how many of her slides I've stolen, borrowed. And we launched training for the executives in July through September. As well, we have a vision to create a CQI Academy to train all of our staff. We're talking to a potential contractor. Our vision is to create a 3 to 5 hour webinar for all staff to complete, and then have basically a pyramid of training where you could get more and more expertise. And at the top of the pyramid, we're going to be training the trainers. We're going to create our own cadre of experts in quality improvement in our department. In the meantime, as we found out from our survey, we don't have a whole lot of expertise presently in our department. So it was key to bring in some experts. Patricia Porter is someone that's been working with us in doing the trainings and helping us with our vision and strategies around building a QI infrastructure in a massive public health department. Our executive management team in July went through an all-day training, and we have created what I call our pioneer QI teams who had training in August. And this is a picture of a couple of the QI teams. We have four, one in human resources, one in communicable disease, one that's working on employee satisfaction, and one in vital records. I have to say that in reality, this is probably the most important slide in the entire presentation, for several reasons. One, by the time we hand-selected our pioneer QI teams, there was enough knowledge and understanding of the importance of QI in transforming our department, let alone meeting accreditation requirements, that it was truly an honor for these people to be hand-selected. I traveled 2 hours to personally invite one individual, one of our staff, to be a lead champion on one of these teams. And I can rarely think in my career of somebody who was so honored and happy to have been chosen. There's a lot of pressure on these folks. This is an innovative new effort in our department, and I've let them know that the pressure is on. They will be the true pioneers and models for quality improvement and performance management in our department. And ultimately, this effort is all about improving the quality of our services. It's all about improving the work environment for people who are incredibly dedicated, who are really smart, really hardworking, but as all of us know in government, working in very, very challenging situations. Lessons learned. Patience. So I've been on the job for 16 months. And did I know what needed to happen on day one when I started? Probably, most of it. I certainly learned a lot over the last 16 months, but I've done this in other organizations. And what I've learned is you really have to be patient. And I think the larger the department, the more patience that you have. We are just a huge bureaucracy. For us to get the word out, for us to communicate through all the layers of the organization and across the state, huge challenges. Support early adopters. So there's the whole theory of the diffusion of innovation. I think that staff that is eager to jump into accreditation and quality improvement and the state health assessment and improvement plan, they want to bring everybody on board. And if we did that, the ship would just tip. What I've learned is you can quickly and easily identify right up front who are going to be those champions, who are going to be the early adopters, and that's where you focus. Those are our four QITs. And with time, in the public health department, the county health department that I was the director of, the county health officer, it took us about 3 years to build that infrastructure to a point where I was actually very proud and satisfied, and we were making huge headway and changes in the department. But it takes time to bring on the late adopters. You can't waste time on the late adopters in the beginning. Many of them are just stuck. They're waiting to see what's going on, and so you have to give the support and attention to the early adopters. You have to lead and cheerlead, and that the organizational placement is key. As you've heard, this effort is placed actually physically, literally right next door to me in the office next door. Lorianne and I share a wall, and so I am involved every week in this effort. Being a leader and a cheerleader, but it really needs to come from the top. Next steps, we are in the midst of hiring an accreditation coordinator. We actually have four vacancies in our Office of Quality Performance and Accreditation, or OQPA. And once we get that accreditation coordinator on board, we'll be truly off and running. We're building a website that is going to be in collaboration and available for all of our local health department partners. We're talking about creating a network in the state, not only for accreditation coordinators, but for our quality improvement team. And we're looking at building a performance management system. Ultimately, the knowledge will spread, and we're going to be wrapping up the task force state health assessment and improvement plan in the next few months. But we're also going to be looking at how to integrate that with existing health assessments and health improvement plans that we have, for example, in maternal, child, and adolescent health. And that is what we're up to in the California Department of Public Health. Thank you.
Ron, thank you very much. There were three questions that were lined up, and why don't we start with those three and then we'll go on to the fourth. So, ma'am, I think did you have a question that you wanted to start with? Yes. Okay, go ahead. Maybe I'll repeat the question. So it's half the community health improvement plan is within the health department, the other half is outside the health department.
Right, exactly.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Amy?
So when I say it's not under the health department, I mean it's not under direct control and ability to affect some of the social determinants of health. So it's actually about half of what you affect health that we decide in the community is in under the direct control of the hospital systems, patient care, community initiatives.
Jeff, did you have a question? Okay. Pamela. The question is for each of you to comment on how you got the buy-in within your departments. Brian, can we start with you, please?
Where that point is comes with, as usual, the
one.
Stephanie, on the hand, is, I think we're pretty much on under the radar right now in the major government's bodies. There hasn't been an act yet, and I think we follow the simple principle of red line, hydrating the amount of information out between the two mentions you will. I'm anticipating much of a controversy. I think we don't have to work out, so we need all of this with the county board of supervisors. The resource implications, given the scale of our department, are probably not immense from their perspective. But I'm sure at the appropriate time we'll have the appropriate engagement of their deputies and supervisors in the process.
Excellent question. So the question is, what is the overlap between the National Public Health Performance Standard Systems and public health accreditation? Alonzo? Or Jeff? Ryan, go ahead, if you're ready.
Well, I don't see a I see that they kind of evolve. I don't see a problem with those. And I think from our perspective, the way that accreditation is developed, I mean, I think that we kind of embrace that. I don't think we've ever had a systematic application of the overall performance. We know the work. We sort of feel like it's evolved. But I think we've got other colleagues out in the audience who've lived this evolution that can comment that they're wrong.
Jim. Thank you. So they're very related to each other and do not compete with each other at all.
Doing the two together,
Pamela?
Thank you.
Two more questions. Ma'am? Train your staff versus what? Providing resources for? Oh, okay, health front. Okay, so the question is, how do you balance off training staff in QI versus providing resources for the rest of the health department? Okay. I think I, Brian?
This is a collaboration. We had our two key collaborations done in one LA and Sacramento. That was all collaboration with both health departments. We've gone out and I've personally made presentations at both statewide organizations, board meetings, and annual meetings. And compared to other states, there are many other states where the health departments are centralized. We obviously are decentralized. I know that there are foundations that are looking at providing assistance to regions of county health departments in the state along the lines they're describing with training and preparation for accreditation and QI. But we're working very closely with local health departments to figure out how we're going to build networks of quality improvement managers, for example, performance improvement managers, to create a learning environment where we can share across the state, because there are going to be those that are going to be way ahead and others that are going to be behind it, and we want to raise the entire boat. So I think creating that type of learning environment through a large network is going to be key for discussions with all our partners as well as love on how we're going to do that. I mentioned as well a website where Lumis is developing a website to handle all that information as well that will build the departments. So, you know, we're doing it internally, but we're working very closely with our partners to make sure that happens.
Thank you, Ron. John, one last quick question.
Okay, one last quick question. So, I'm from California. These people are from California. California, we like to think we're number one in everything. The fact of the matter is, in the state of North Carolina, 75% of the local health departments are already accredited. Has that been useful to you in kind of helping our state leaders realize California is not only not number one, but we're pretty far behind?
Okay, the question is, actually, let's just answer one, and then the speakers will be able to stay up here so that we get done in time. But the question is other states being ahead of California a motivation?
I would just say that North Carolina, Michigan State, they have pre-existing kind of accreditation approaches. We're trailblazers for all of us, so I feel like, you know, we've learned from them. I think the fabric prevention process has grown from that and incorporated the best of what's out there. So as competitive as we can be in California, I don't feel particularly competitive with our colleagues in North Carolina.
Okay. I'd like to thank all of you, and would you please join me in thanking our three speakers and John Coyle.